Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking all things Nashville Predators and looking ahead to the NHL trade deadline as well. And help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the great Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet, also with the 31 Thoughts podcast as well. Jeff, what's going on, my man? How are we doing?
Anything changed since last time we spoke, gentlemen, or is everything still the same? Are we on the same page here?
We're doing well, Jeff. Hope you are as well. And to that point, I mean, the last time we had you on, it was just a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the deadline and Matthias Ekholm and the Predators probably potentially being the most active team at the deadline. And since then, they've won 11 out of 13 games. They're got a four-point lead on the Blackhawks right now for fourth place in the Central Division. Just from your vantage point, what have you thought of this turnaround that the Nashville Predators have made as of late?
It's amazing what happens when you get a save. Elie Tolvanen is finally emerging. I mean, these are all things that you guys know. These are all things that you guys have documented on your program here. You know, a couple of things. One, Nashville's played much better. I like that the chatter around John Hines has quieted down, because I've always maintained, regardless of Nashville's record, that that's a really good NHL coach. A couple of other things. Chicago has come back down to earth very much, as has the Columbus Blue Jackets, and that team has, you know, some of the most drama of any team in the NHL. And as much as we looked at the Dallas Stars and said, you know, that might be the team here to watch, you know, trying to jump up and grab that fourth spot in the Central, they just have no pop in their offense. The Dallas Stars just flat out can't score. So a number of things have happened here all at the same time, and I think the full props need to be given to Nashville here for taking advantage of it. I mean, you can only win the games you're presented with, and that's what Nashville has done. Now, complicating all of this is April 12th, and what do you do? And I kind of look at it and I say, well, David Poile doesn't have to do anything. I mean, you've got two expiring contracts in Granlund and Holla. After that, I mean, you can really kick a lot of decisions down the road right now. And I think that one thing that we really need to keep in mind here, and every team is going through this, right now, every team is trying to sell for next season. Regardless of what they're doing right now, the MO is get things back to normal for next season. Sell tickets, sell sponsorships, sell season ticket packages for next season. And as history has shown, it is a lot easier to do that when your team makes the playoffs as opposed to is going through a rebuild. And some may say that's, you know, penny-wise and pound-foolish and you need a long-term plan. Right now, there's no long-term plan for any team. You know, given what everyone's gone through with COVID and the losses and how they've mounted up and how much money has been lost here, every owner is looking for every nickel under every cushion wherever they can find it. So if I'm David Poile, my marching orders are make sure we're in a playoff spot. Even if, you know, opening round, you know, you may get roasted by Carolina, Tampa, Florida, take your pick. Right now the MO has to be just get in, keep that fourth spot.
So you're telling us Poile's buying Monday then? Is that the headline here?
Okay. Oh, the Canadian guy says they're buying. I don't think that they're buying. I think that right now they're in a hold, and that there's not a lot of pressure for David Poile to do anything. And it wouldn't be the worst thing either if, you know, Granlund just goes through the season and then leaves for you know, other pastures at the end of it. Ditto for Eric Halla. You still have your team very much intact. I think there's always three types of teams on trade deadline day. There's buyers or sellers, and then there's, you know, teams that just don't do anything and are satisfied with their lineup, and they have enough to get done what they need. I don't think that they're a buyer. I don't necessarily think they're a seller either. I think that, you know, Monday comes and goes, probably with Nashville being a quiet team that we don't hear a lot of noise around, unless it's a small deal with Granlund or a small deal with Eric Halla. I don't necessarily see Nashville as making the big splash. Now, this can all change if someone calls David Poile and knocks his socks off for a deal for Matthias Ekholm and Philip Forsberg or Ryan Ellis or whomever. But But I don't know that I see that happening in a flat cap universe right now.
Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Jeff, to that point, around the league, like, we've not seen much at the deadline or leading up to the deadline at this point. And obviously, like, Taylor Hall still on the table. There are some names that will be out there. Yep. How active do you expect this deadline to be as we approach Monday?
It's a great question. Well, right now what we're seeing is it's hard to make deals without teams retaining money. You know, both, you know, the deals that we did, the two deals that we saw where there was money retained, the Buffalo-Montreal deal with Eric Staal, the Paul Mary's Ajax deal between New Jersey and the New York Islanders, the Florida-Chicago deal, it did not have money involved, but or retaining salary involved, but I think that might be an outlier in all of this. There's a lot of teams that don't want to take on money. There, even if you have cap space right now, it's save, save, save. You know, there are some teams that have done some interesting things to open up cap space, and the Florida Panthers now have $4 million in it after making that deal with the Chicago Blackhawks. But right now, it's more difficult than ever than any other trade deadline. Nobody wants anyone really with term because we don't know what next season and the season after is going to look like. And right now, a lot of these deals have to be money in, money out, and the cash has to wash. That is a whole new wrinkle, or I shouldn't say new. That is another wrinkle for general managers that have to juggle here as they try to get things done. So it's harder than ever right now in the NHL to make a deal because of the flat cap and how everyone wants to be conservative with their nickels and dimes.
Jeff, you mentioned the noise quieting around John Hines. And look, obviously a team loses, you know, people are going to look at the coach, they're going to look at the GM. I mean, it's obvious that these things happen, but what do you like? What have you liked about John Hines as a coach? And how much credit do you think he deserves right now for this turnaround?
I'll tell you what, you know, in the off season, here's a sort of indicator, and he's always had a reputation for being a coach that has always had a strong forecheck, and he's a coach that can get a lot out of high end players. When Taylor Hall was a free agent in the offseason, the Colorado Avalanche were interested, but also Nashville, and specifically, you know, Taylor Hall, I'm of the firm belief, guys, that Taylor Hall's first choice was Nashville, and that was because he wanted to be reunited with John Hines. That's where he enjoyed the most success, his Hart Trophy season, etc. That was his decision. For whatever reason, that deal could not come together, and he ended up taking the one-year deal with the Buffalo Sabres. This is a coach that likes to forecheck aggressively. This is a new school thinker. This is a coach that wants to have a direct line to his analytics department. I mean, he's a very forward thinker in that regard. So players like him. He's a progressive coach. He's a smart guy. He's well-liked. I've got all day for John Hines as a head coach.
Jeff, last thing for you here. As you look around the league right now, with the different setup this year, with the different divisions, sometimes it could be hard to gauge maybe the entire league when you're not seeing teams play against everybody. Yeah. But if you had to identify the top couple of Stanley Cup favorites right now, who would you go with?
Well, you got to go with Colorado right now. And, I mean, I was talking to someone in Vegas the other day, and I said, do you guys think you have enough to beat the Colorado Avalanche? And this person said, if you get us at a candid moment, we'll tell you no. Colorado is the juggernaut. They have emerged as we thought they would. I still think the Tampa, they're getting Nikita Kucherov back for the playoffs. I think those are the two that you would look at. But I also think that, you know, you look at what the Islanders have done and the structure that they have. Like, it may not be the most exciting brand of hockey, but there's no denying that that team is very much a force. When Washington is playing well, they're certainly a Stanley Cup favorite. And I think the Toronto Maple Leafs in the North. You know, you put their winning percentage up against any of the elite teams, whether it's, you know, Colorado, whether it's the Islanders, whether it's the Capitals or whomever, they're right there in that mix. So there's a handful that have emerged as the elite in the NHL, and then you have your second tier. But your top dog right now has to be considered the Colorado Avalanche. And don't be surprised if that's a busy team on Monday as well. We know Joe Sakic is at least looking for one more defenseman.
Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet, also with the 31 Thoughts podcast, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Jeff, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
I hope the next time I'm on, we don't reveal how wrong I was about this appearance as I was the previous.
Hey, we're right there with you, man.
Yeah, we're all
in the same boat. So we appreciate you joining us, man.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, gents. Have a great day.
Absolutely. You as well. The great Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet, our guest here on Robbie and Rexard. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Jeff had to say there and ask the question, how active do we think this deadline is going to be? How active do we think the Nashville Predators could be coming up on Monday at the trade deadline? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you're tuning in later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate giveaway, a Dos Equis prize pack including a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. We'll have that opportunity coming up a little bit later here in the show. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning. We're going to have Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 7:45. So go ahead and get those called shots into our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jeff Merrick with some interesting stuff from Sportsnet in the last segment here, talking about the NHL trade deadline, which is coming up on Monday, and not expecting the Predators to be overly active at the trade deadline. Said unless you get a good deal for a Halla or a Granlund, probably standing pat if you're the Predators, and certainly doesn't expect the big deal of Ekholm or a Forsberg to a lesser extent that we've talked about in the past to happen coming up on deadline day. So I ask you both this question. We've talked about what we think should happen. It's prediction time. We're not that far away from the NHL trade deadline. What do you think does happen on Monday? On April 12th, when it comes and goes, when the deadline passes, what do you think the Nashville Predators have done or not done to that point?
See, you're infringing on Call Your Shot Friday.
Okay. Well, you don't have to
answer. What if I don't want to say?
Well, you don't have to.
What if I want to plead the fifth? What if this? What if Poyle trades Ekholm to Colorado? They're going to be tormented by him for the next few years once they're back in their division?
Just have Girard and Ekholm out there?
He only has 1 year left on his contract,
Joe.
Sure,
just be one more year.
Right, that's right. There's my prediction. There's my called
that's
shot.
That's your
really.
Called shot. Okay. No. Ryan Porth, do you want to save this for Call Your Shot Friday, too?
Or no,
you
like to I didn't have any trade deadline stuff in my Call
Good.
Your Shot Friday.
You can answer the question.
Does this mean that you think nothing's happening?
Perhaps.
Okay.
I'm kind of getting that feeling. The Islanders-Devils trade was very interesting because I feel like that kind of reset the market compared to where I thought it was after the Eric Staal trade from Buffalo to Montreal.
Yeah.
Where Palmieri and Zajac go to the Islanders for a first and a fourth and some other pieces within that trade. And Granlund...
I know where you're going with that, but yeah.
Okay. So Granlund probably isn't as coveted of a player as Palmieri. But if Palmieri is essentially yielding a first and Zajac is a fourth, then couldn't you say that Granlund would be a second and Halla would be a fourth? I mean, if Zajac can get a fourth, Halla can get a fourth.
You would think.
Zajac hasn't been good in 5 years.
Right.
So, I mean, if you put the two of them in a trade together almost, you know, in the same exact fashion, and you're offered a second and a fourth, or you get a desperate team giving you a second and a third. We see that all the time. And the Preds have been one of the teams over the years that have been desperate come deadline time where they give up a first-round pick for Ryan Hartman or a first-round pick for Paul Gostad or a first-round pick for Brendan Witt. Like, you could easily have another GM call up David Poyle and offer you something that you just cannot refuse for someone like Granlund and Halla on Monday. But I'm kind of getting, just listening to Poyle talk the last couple weeks on Darren Donick and Chase, I'm kind of getting the feeling that nothing's really going to happen on Monday.
Yeah, but again, like, I understand what he's been saying. He's been downplaying it. First of all, I wouldn't really expect anything different. But I agree, like, the tone. I mean, look, things are going well, right? But how could you know, though? Because Monday, a lot of times that day is when things change. And someone who was here is like, okay, let's go to here. Now what do you think? I mean, that's certainly possible.
Well, also, with David Poyle's track record of the year, over the years, he's always been one that has looked at his team glass half full, optimistic, and maybe a little too much at times. You think back to the Ryan Suter situation where a lot of people thought he was going to leave and he held on to Suter and he walked for nothing. And Poyle has kind of referenced it of not wanting to let players walk for nothing. But, I mean, if it's me and someone's offering me a second-round pick for Granlund, you have been giving up first- and second-round picks in the last 10 years going for it. I think it's time, even though this team is winning right now, to get one of those assets back. Because essentially, if you do nothing, you are kind of going for it for a playoff run.
Sure.
And you are giving up the opportunity to get an asset, even though you're not giving up anything.
What if it's just a third? To me, if it's a second, it's a no-brainer. What if it's a third? Well, just forget the combo trade. Just Granlund straight up, third-round pick. What'd Stahl get, tough. A third and a fifth?
Third and a fifth.
Yeah, that's tough. I'd probably still do it, but I don't know, man. Third-rounders, I mean, you can hit on some third-rounders for sure. There have also been a lot of third-rounders that you just totally whiff on, too. I mean, it's people got to realize, like, the NHL draft is, I think it's a lot more of a crapshoot than the NFL draft is. Like, the NFL draft, you've got tape. These guys have grown up a little bit. They're 21 for the most part, 20, 21, 22 years old. You're talking about 17 and 18-year-olds.
A lot of third-round picks in the NFL draft are not just good players. They're ready to be good players
right
quickly.
That's not normally the case in the NHL.
And think about this particular draft in July, where a lot of GMs are upset that the draft is happening in July because they haven't been able to scout like normal. So does that factor in to whether or not Poyle wants to make a trade of not only would it only be a third-round pick in your scenario, Joe, but a third-round pick in a draft that you may not have as good of a feel for all these prospects?
Well, how about a second-rounder in 22?
But see, GMs, I don't think, are going to be willing to give up draft picks in 22.
I don't think so either.
That's what the sellers want. That's not what the buyers want to give up.
I agree. And also, we haven't really talked about this part of it, but Jeff Merrick brought up in the last segment, like, the financial realities of where the league is right now and where teams are. I mean, you're trying to get as much revenue as possible. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, this is no groundbreaking information here, but COVID has hurt. I mean, it's hurt. It's hurt the sports world. It's hurt every single industry out there for the most part. So they're trying to get as much money as they can and trying to generate as much revenue as they can. Does a playoff run help kind of facilitate that towards a season ticket drives for next year, or, you know, trying to get things as back to normal as quickly as possible as you can? How much does that factor in for the Predators? I think that's an interesting question.
Yeah, no, I agree. I also would say, like, they move Granlund, and I don't all of a sudden say, forget them now. Here come the Stars.
Well, I would agree, and I would also say, like, if you're a Predators fan, what excites you more? Is it stockpiling younger assets and having them ready to play next year, potentially, or is it making a run to the playoffs, potentially getting beat in the first round? And why do you have to have – I mean, you can have both. We've talked about that.
Like right now, with or without Granlund, I'm going to predict that the Preds get to the playoffs and lose in the first round.
Yeah.
My prediction doesn't change if he's gone.
Now, what if you make almost like a hockey trade where, okay, you're trading Granlund, but you're not just getting some sort of, you know, draft pick compensation in return? You know, the Boston Bruins seem to be almost done with, like, Jake DeBrusque.
Yeah.
Jake DeBrusque is a talented player that could probably use a change of scenery, who keeps sliding down the depth chart because Boston is so stinking good. Like, what if Boston is wanting to add a forward and you get DeBrusque back in return? Now, that helps Boston because they're not adding a whole lot of salary. It's not just a complete 100% add with money. So there's some money in, money out for the Bruins. And I've heard a lot of people say that maybe this is a postseason for some teams where you don't want to invest a lot of money when you're not going to have full arenas.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but I think, no, for sure. But like you said, and like Jeff said, what does it help your outlook a lot going into next year if you're a playoff team and it doesn't like the, you know, the trajectory has been like this for the Preds for the past few years.
Right.
And now, I mean, this is one of the best and most fun stretches
long time
of the last few years. Yeah. Well, right now.
And I made that comment mostly for Boston than sure. I
yeah,
did
yeah.
for Nashville.
Oh, yeah, right.
But this has also been the most fun this Preds team has been in like 3 years.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Oh, it is. And it's a lot of fun right now. And look, I think there's value in keeping that going. Like, you know, I would still pick them to lose in the first round, regardless of what they do at the trade deadline coming up this week. But maybe they don't. I mean, look, maybe they get hot and they go on a run here and they play well in the playoffs. I mean, you have to leave that possibility on the table. To your point, though, Joe, like, I'm not sure, like, if Granlund is here, does that help you? Sure. But if he's gone, does that just totally devastate your chances? Like, as we've seen, the team has dealt with some losses. They've done pretty well at dealing with some losses of players here. Does that totally derail your chances if Granlund's not here? I don't think so.
You plug a healthy, rested, off-injury Matt Duchene into the exact same spot and say, here it is. Go get it. I mean, like, to me, if you get something Monday and obviously I don't think that you are going to disrupt everything too much. It's, you know, like, you have your cake and eat it too, which is a dumb expression because who the heck wants cake without eating it? But still, you get what I'm saying.
You are correct.
It's like a cake so you can, like, rub your butt on it. I mean, you know, like, if you have cake, you want to eat the cake.
That's right.
Sorry that I use that terrible cliche. I retract it.
102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer.
Free beer.
And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day today for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. Ryan Porth with another outstanding trivia question coming your way today on this show at 9:45.
And it's related to the Masters.
It is related to the Masters. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Nashville Predators. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you will win a prize pack. The next chance to participate will be Tuesday morning at 8:45. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Kyle texts in and says, I believe we're finally playing like the team we thought we would be at the beginning of the season when we added some of these guys in free agency. I don't think this is just a flash in the pan. We might just be a good team, and it's finally starting to click within the locker room. So, Joe, what do you think of that? Kyle throwing out there that they're playing more like the team that everybody thought they could look like in the preseason heading into this season, and that maybe this is not just a hot streak. Maybe they've figured something out and that this is sustainable moving forward here.
I could buy that. Again, remember, not to throw too much cold water on everything, but the 9 wins have come against Detroit, Chicago, Dallas in this. Do I have a... Nine of the 11 yep. wins have come against those teams. I think there's some things that are sustainable. I think the way they're playing is how they talked about playing going into the year, and then they didn't do it. You know, they didn't find the right formula to do it. The one thing that I'll continue to ask, I guess until it stops, is like, is UC Saros sustainable at this
right.
level? Because, I mean, if he goes through another couple weeks of this, at what point does he start getting Vezina mentions?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like, I still think, I mean, this is probably Andre Vasilevsky's trophy to lose at this point, would be my guess. I mean, I think he's the favorite. But
Fleury's in the mix,
but I would still give the edge to Vasilevsky. But I don't know. You know, if Saros closes out the season like this, how many times have we seen in a competition before when it comes to the Vezina, like, the goaltender closing really, really strong, and they generate a lot of momentum? And that's... It probably shouldn't be this way, but, I mean, that's, people are influenced when you start voting on. I think the GMs
money
vote
time.
On
it's money
the
time.
Vezina. So, I look, if he keeps playing like this, he's going to put himself in the mix.
By the way, on FanDuel, you still cannot bet on UC Saros. But, hey, you can vote on Cam Talbot to win the Vezina.
Let him keep playing like this for another week, you'll be able to vote on UC Saros.
You can't do write-ins, huh?
Yeah, no write-in.
Set your own odds.
Porth keeps saying vote.
I do keep saying vote, and you still can't vote slash bet on Yossi to win the Norris, and you still can't vote slash bet on Tolvanen to win the Calder.
Yeah. No respect.
Disrespect.
No respect. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate text in, I'm not saying my thoughts on Taylor Hall are changed based on that interview with Merrick, but should the Preds at least listen to this and think about getting Hall at some point? I haven't watched him, but maybe he's just been unhappy since he's been wanting to reunite with Hines. I know it's a big risk, but just listening and thinking can't hurt anything. So we did hear that from Jeff Merrick, that he believes that Nashville was probably Taylor Hall's number one preference just to reunite with John Hines, and the way that John Hines has coached Taylor Hall, the way Taylor Hall played, winning a league MVP under John Hines, and the deal just didn't work. If you're the Predators, and maybe not even necessarily right now at this deadline, do you give any consideration to Taylor Hall in the future, bringing him in?
Well, you know who I want to know about on that question? Hmm. If John Hines is all in on it, great.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, if I'm the GM,
I have a feeling he would be.
Yeah.
The connection was pretty good there in New Jersey.
It
with
was.
John Hines and
it
Taylor
was,
Hall.
But things have changed.
They have.
You know?
But, I mean, look, Taylor Hall was good last year for Arizona, and he was pretty good against the Predators in that playoff series. I mean, he was good.
He's overrated.
I do think he's overrated. And
he had a magical year under Hines.
And I will say, it is difficult to judge him in Buffalo because, my goodness.
Right.
It's Buffalo. He's got 19 points in 37 games. He scored 2 goals.
Buffalo's like Pigpen and Peanuts.
Yeah.
It's like not, the smudge gets on everyone. It's just, you have to
can't
take a shower immediately.
Exactly. So it's hard to judge from there. He is 29 years old. And you do have to wonder, like, at a certain point, like, if everywhere you are is not good, like, the team's not good, like, do you read into that at all if you're a team? Like, they were awful in Edmonton with him there.
Oh,
they were awful in New Jersey for the most part with him there, even though he played really well.
Beat the Preds in a playoff series.
He did.
Got to the playoffs with New Jersey.
Yeah.
One, I don't know. In that year.
I think very good.
I don't know.
I think in the real, like, postseason, Taylor Hall has won one playoff game.
Okay, but, well, all right. But that was
one
the
game
postseason.
With the Devils, and then they got just bombarded by Colorado last
year. They
didn't
get swept, though, did they?
I thought
remember.
They did.
I think they won once.
Bottom line.
Two playoff games.
Yeah.
Look, okay. All right.
You can say that
was. Give him credit.
Sorry for selling him short.
It was a playoff series. It was just as much a playoff series as anything that came after it.
It wasn't.
Yeah, sure it was. I mean, it was.
It wasn't.
It was the same
in
the conditions.
Normal year, it wouldn't be a playoff series, though.
Right, but it was the same conditions.
So that's fine, but it wasn't a playoff series.
But it was the pressure of a playoff series.
Okay.
Right?
But it's not a playoff series.
Officially in the NHL book.
Right, but yes. Okay, but you guys are trying to make this judgment of, okay, does he make teams worse in money time? That was as much money time as anything. The whole Preds trajectory was based on them losing that series.
But if it was a real season, he wouldn't have been in the playoffs. It's not a real playoff series.
I understand that, but they played a playoff series.
Okay.
But he goes to Arizona.
And they won, and they beat the Predators. So that still counts.
He went to Arizona. Something. They were like leading the division at the time. He goes there,
and they were out of the playoffs.
They were under 500 with Hall in the lineup.
So he goes places, and they just get bad.
I mean, I'm not saying it's New direct Jersey, causation. New I'm just saying it's happened.
Right, but New Jersey's been garbage for how long?
Long time.
Okay, so
they did make a Stanley Cup final in 12.
Yes.
Okay, so you're almost a decade out. So he has an MVP season, and they actually get to the postseason. Does that count for anything?
Sure.
I mean, they weren't good.
Yeah. I mean, he carried them to the playoffs.
Yeah. So I'm not advocating the Preds get him. I'm just saying you could look at Duchesne and say, okay.
You can.
But I watched him in the playoffs for Columbus.
Pretty good.
Light it up, right? So, it's narratives. By the way, Michael Lark on Twitter says, no, they're playing well against cellar dwellers. It's still time to rebuild for the future. Now, Detroit, for sure.
Cellar dweller.
But, Chicago, I mean, like, Dallas was in the cup final last year.
Yeah.
And that apparently you guys don't think existed because it was in the bubble and it wasn't real.
That's not what I said. I said the playoff series that got added that is not a playoff series is not a playoff series.
I get it.
I don't think it's that controversial of a take.
And Dallas only has one more win this season than Detroit. That's true. Let's just keep that
but
in mind.
But I still consider Dallas and Chicago. Now, Chicago's faded. Those are comparable teams. Those are your peers. So if you're beating your peers to get to the playoffs, that's not beating cellar dwellers, Michael.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Robbie, I'm loving everyone not picking the Preds to do anything in the playoffs. It sounds like 2017 all over again. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Bring me the noise. Come on.
You know what tomorrow night feels like.
What's that?
I'm not saying the exact same thing is going to happen. But do you remember that 17 spring that the Preds started playing better starting in like mid-January?
Yep.
And their last game against the Hawks at home, they got just pasted on home ice. And at that point, I think that's when Jared just said, they're not beating Chicago. Avoid Chicago. You're playing well. You're playing Tampa tomorrow night. And if they lose that game, I think a lot of people are going to be like, okay, don't play Tampa. Like, if they make the playoffs, they're not going to beat Tampa. And then who knows what happens a month from now.
See, we had a caller earlier talking about that team and the young, hungry elements of it, which was true, but you also still had Forsberg, Johansson, Subban, Yossi, Fisher.
Yeah. Rene.
Neal.
They had a lot of veterans.
That's right.
The Neal. Real deal, James Neal.
Yeah.
Craig Smith. I mean, it wasn't just like a bunch of rookies, together and
they were younger, but to your point, yes.
So, I'm sorry, but this Tampa Bay is not that Chicago.
No.
I know it's easy to say now because, I mean, look, I thought Chicago might have won the cup that year.
But hey.
Going to the playoffs, I mean, wouldn't you think so?
Right now, it wouldn't be Tampa Bay.
They still had their core.
It'd be Carolina.
That's true.
The Athletic, Joe.
Yes.
Yesterday had some odds on, or percentages, I should say, on the Preds in the playoffs in the first round. They said 18% against Tampa. 18% shot of winning and 29% shot of beating Carolina.
Nothing against Florida?
You mute button.
Yeah. All right, I had the mute button. Well, I did that one on purpose. Nicely done.
What was your question?
Is that my first all week? I think it is.
No. You had one Monday.
It's not.
So it's my second all
week. Yes, it's pretty good. His question was, what about against
my
Florida?
My question was, what about Florida? Do they have Florida?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
18%? I mean, what would have been the... I mean, maybe we can find it. Well, what was the percentage chance going to the Chicago series?
I think it was higher than that, but it wasn't much higher than that.
It was probably 20-something.
It was probably around what the Carolina number
probably
is.
Probably so.
Again, like Tampa Bay still isn't whole yet.
And they're pretty good.
Yeah. But
well, and Stamkos just got hurt last night.
That's true.
Mm.
He gets hurt a lot. Who knows? Before we get done with the show, we're going to talk ourselves into the Predators sweeping the Lightning. It's time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Retro. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It could be the Titans. It could be the Preds. Any direction you want to take it is on the table. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Retro here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week. Time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Roads. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, Rex Road.
Hey, there's a lot of ways you can go with it.
Let's quickly recap the Call Your Shot Friday. I can't say anything in this segment, so I'm going to turn it over to you. What did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
I think most weeks a Call Your Shot is a recrap. That's about
pretty much
right.
Can we recrap last Friday?
There's our recrap.
Speaking is not going well for me today.
Yeah, it's almost happy hour. All right, so my shots. Arizona will shock UConn tonight in the women's Final Four. Ding, ding, ding. Got that one. Now, then I also had South Carolina will beat Arizona in the Sunday's title game. So I was half right. I mean, Arizona lost in Sunday's title game. They just lost to
Stanford.
Gosh, thank you. Because
the long week.
I still feel bad for Aaliyah Boston missing that tip-in for South Carolina. And also because it would have made my called shots perfect. Houston will be within a possession the final 2 minutes versus Baylor. That didn't go very well, did it? Robbie, Gonzaga won the national title game by double digits and never trail.
That didn't work.
The Preds beat Chicago 4-2. Roman Yossi will score.
They won.
I've already forgotten.
Yossi didn't score in that game.
No.
Matt Beatty will hit 10 homers for the Dodgers. You got your long-term shot, your buddy. So.
Not off to a good start.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's early.
Has he hit one?
No.
Elijah had Gonzaga will cover the 14.5 versus UCLA. So even our resident basketball nerd doesn't know what's going to happen in the NCAA tournament.
That's right. There you go.
If Baylor doesn't shoot 35% from three, Houston will win. I don't know if Baylor did or not, but I'm just going to call that a bad shot, too. He also has the Padres winning the NL.
Yeah.
And Tatis winning the MVP. So, I mean, we may need to come back and shame Elijah down the road. Let's remember those
Tatis
shots.
Is hurt, isn't he?
Yes.
So that's going to be tough.
Yeah, Tatis, I think, tore his labrum in his shoulder on a swing.
Subluxed. No surgery required.
That's a good word, and you said it correctly.
Yep.
All right, so there you go.
That's what it was.
Re-crap is exactly right. So
thank you.
Here we go.
So, Ryan Porth, you had the week off last week from Call Your Shot Friday. So, does that mean you've got about 14 for us today?
Yes.
It's your turn. All right.
Yes. So, y'all are done for the rest of the segment.
Thank you.
Not really. All right. A couple of Masters called shots. Bryson DeChambeau is going to miss the cut today.
Ooh.
He was 5 over yesterday.
One good.
He's going to miss the cut today. And Jordan Spieth is going to be in the final group on Sunday. Jordan Spieth has been red hot coming into the Masters. And yesterday he rebounded after hitting his ball off a tree trunk.
Triple bogey,
and he rebounded in a big way. So I think Jordan Spieth is a man on a mission. He'll be in the final group on Sunday. And a couple of Central Division called shots.
Okay.
First of all, in the National Hockey League, the Carolina Hurricanes win the Central Division.
Okay.
Looking at their schedule, they are starting to pick up steam again. They looked really good in these last couple of games against Florida. I think they're going to pick up steam and go on a run here and win the Central. And then in Major League Baseball, my Cincinnati Reds are going to win the Central Division this season. Book it.
Have you learned nothing?
We're a bunch of bat-flipping
show-button
sons of a gun.
That's right. Show-butting. You learned nothing about these Reds. We're 2 weeks in.
5-1, baby.
Right.
Well, see,
1 weekend.
How do we do it?
I'd respect that more if you said it earlier. You know, I mean, they're on a hot streak right now. But I want this shot before the season.
I do have money on them from last week winning the Central Division.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Any more?
That's it.
Oh, good. Wow. Kind of a light edition today of Call Your Shot Friday from Ryan Porth, Joe Rexroad. Call Your Shot Friday.
I only have two, so I hope you've got some backup here. I don't have any golf called shots and probably never will in my entire life.
Okay.
Hater.
Yeah, I know.
Are you going to watch on
white
Sunday?
White guys in weird pants just doesn't really. What's that? Yeah, I will usually watch the last hour or so if it's good.
Okay.
I'll check in on Sunday of a major if it's good. All right. Preds will beat Tampa Bay Saturday night.
Okay.
And the. Also part of this called shot, Ellie Tolvanen will have the winning goal. So this is me. You know,
you're assuming he's playing.
I'm crystal ball, and I'm thinking, was it sort of like, you know what, a little ankle or something, and you're not feeling great, and you know, this team can beat Detroit. Gear up for this game. This is a big game. I think Ellie Tolvanen is going to be on the ice, and he's going to score the winning goal.
I like that.
So there you go. My other called shot is something that we will find out, I would say, within the next 2-3 weeks. I'm going to call the shot that Vanderbilt's next women's basketball coach will be Carla Berube.
Okay.
She, for people who follow UConn hoop, she was a guard for Geno many years ago. She was a coach at Tufts for a lot of years, you know, which is a lower level, but 384 and 96, an 800 winning percentage. She was Princeton's coach. Last season, they did not play in the Ivy League. She went 29-1. She's a rising star as a coach. 45 years old, and not someone people are talking about, but I'm going to call that shot. Carla Berube.
So wait a minute.
To Vanderbilt.
When I asked you the question earlier about the trade deadline, predicting what was going to happen, you told me to wait until Call Your Shot Friday, and then you don't call what happens? You got to answer it right now. What do the Predators do?
That's a good point. I know. Then we started talking about it. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm afraid. I'm afraid to call the shot. All right.
30 minutes ago, don't infringe on Call Your Shot Friday.
Nothing.
Well, I just assumed that Porth had a bunch of them, you know?
Okay. Well, that's probably a good assumption.
All right. I think I've already. I think we've already maybe called some shots on this. Have we? I don't know. Whatever.
Not you.
You can. Okay, that's fine. All right. The Preds. I called a shot that Ekholm. The specific trade to the Flyers. Yeah, to the Flyers.
Oh, that
no, no, no. So like, yes, that was actually Call Your Shot.
That actually was, yes.
Didn't we do this with Granlund, too?
I thought we did.
The destination?
Times have changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. An updated Call Your Shot. Yeah. Honestly, I'm going to say the Preds will stand pat.
I agree.
Make no trades by Monday's deadline?
Do nothing.
I don't
think they should do that, but I think they will do that.
I don't think they should either, but that is one of my called shots. I say the trade deadline comes and goes on Monday, and the Nashville Predators have done nothing. They have stood pat. Granlund will remain a part of the team. Holla will remain a part of the team, and they'll just keep on marching towards the playoffs with the roster that they have right now. I also, and it's funny you brought up Jordan Spieth. I got him winning the Masters. Give me Jordan Spieth winning the Masters coming up this weekend. We've seen him choke there before, so hopefully he doesn't do that again.
It ain't going to be DeChambeau.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be him at all. That's for sure. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and we'll continue to take your shots throughout the show here on Robbie and Rex Road on our text line, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ryan in Nashville says, the Preds will make a couple of small trades for some depth players with all these injuries that have happened. Ekholm, Forsberg, Granlund, Holla, and Ellis will not go anywhere. So Ryan calling the Predators making some trades for depth. So I guess adding
so buying?
Something. Yeah.
He's got them buying.
So at and forward or defense?
Depth. They've got depth. They got 12 rookies have played this year.
That's true. Joey in Gallatin texts in and says, my call shot, the Predators win the first round of the playoffs. DeJoy taking more of a longer-term view here, winning the first round, whether that's Carolina or Tampa Bay or Florida.
That's a shot.
That qualifies as a shot, that's for sure.
That's a second mute button in the last 10
yes,
minutes.
It is.
I don't know.
We've got him all flustered. Craig on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says the Preds take 3 out of 4 points this weekend. So you've got the Lightning and the Stars saying the Predators take 3 out of those 4 points this weekend.
That'd be a good weekend.
That would be a good weekend. Got a texter that says Granlund will be with the Preds next season because Hine wants him on the team. So a called shot of Mikhail Granlund hanging around and being a part of the Predators next year.
Did he actually say Hine?
Hines.
Okay.
Did I say Hine?
Yes, you did.
Really got to get out of this segment. I mean, we really do. This has been brutal. We'll come back and talk to Teron.
Can we recap it later?
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game.